The following message was given by Brothers Israel Hsu and Peter Yu in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, January 19, 2020. The title of the message is The Will of God Concerning the All-Inclusive Extensive Christ. Scripture reading, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 19, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7.
Well, before say about a month ago, if you asked me to link Deuteronomy with a book in the New Testament, I probably would have said, Matthew. Because when the Lord was tempted, he answered every temptation of Satan with a verse from Deuteronomy. Or maybe Mark, because the Lord answered the question, what is God's commandment? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God, right? With your whole heart, with your whole strength, right? That's a quote from Deuteronomy. But before, maybe about a month ago, I would not have said Colossians. Deuteronomy is linked with Colossians. I just want to begin with that because we recently finished our semi-annual training on Deuteronomy, and now we're beginning a segment in Colossians. So let's read Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 9 to see this link. All together. For Jehovah your God is bringing you to a good land, a land of water brooks, of springs, and of fountains, flowing forth in valleys and in mountains, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees with oil and of honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. You will not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you can mine copper. So these are the words of Moses to the children of Israel on the cusp of their entering into the promised good land. This is the land that God promised to Abraham. Now, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, after the Lord delivered them out of Egypt, they finally arrived to the entry into the good land. And Moses was forbidden to enter with them, so he's speaking to them again the covenant that God promised to them. If you follow all these matters mentioned in the law, God will bless you. And this land that you are entering into is a land of flowing water. It's a land of all these riches. So how does this link to Colossians? Well, in Colossians, as we read, the Father has qualified us for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. When Paul wrote this verse, no doubt he was referring to the history of the children of Israel. When they entered into the good land, the land was divided into lots. Each lot was given to one of the 12 tribes. And then in each tribe, each family got a share. They got their share of the tribe's allotment. And they were to labor on the land to produce fruit, right? Both vegetable fruit, and also the fruit of their cattle. And what happened with this, of course, it was for their living, it was for their enjoyment, but even more, they brought the top portion of that fruit to the temple in the feasts to worship the Lord. So this was their life. This land was their life. In Colossians, it's marvelous. Paul says, of course, we're not enjoying that land. It's too far away. We're in a different land physically. But in the New Testament, Christ is our land. Amen. And we have been qualified by the Father to enjoy a share of our allotment of Christ. And even Colossians, as we know, Paul says, walk in him. This is to walk in him as our good land. And he says, be rooted in him. And this is, again, to experience Christ as our land. So I just appreciate this link because, you know, after we finish this topic, we'll come back to Deuteronomy. But I hope that as we're going over these topics, that we would be determined and desirous to experience more of Christ as our good land. Oh, there are so many riches we have yet to tap into and even to discover, right? Of course, the 12 spies had gone into the good land, but they just got a little taste. The children of Israel had to occupy the whole land little by little. And so our Christian life and our church life is also to explore and experience all the aspects of Christ. So let's come to Colossians. This week we began our review of the Thanksgiving conference, and the subject of that conference was knowing and experiencing the all-inclusive, extensive Christ. And then the title of this week's message is The Will of God Concerning the All-Inclusive, Extensive Christ. So I'd like to begin a little bit, just to say a little bit about the will of God. You ask any Christian, what's your relationship with the will of God? And any believer would say, well, I often ask the Lord, Lord, what is your will for me? Especially when it comes to decisions. Which college should I go to? Which job offer should I take? Whom shall I marry? All these big decisions. I ask the Lord, Lord, what is your will for me? That's a good question. That's not a bad question to ask. We should seek the Lord in all these matters. But when you consider that question, you might be led astray, because that question has the little two words at the end, for me. So it's somewhat, maybe, self-centered. What if we remove those two words? Then it's, Lord, what is your will? And actually, according to Paul's word in Ephesians, God's will is grand. It is a great will. And when we consider our little decisions, actually they're big decisions, but when we consider them in the scheme of God's grand will that stretches from eternity to eternity, we realize, oh, my question, Lord, what is your will for me, is just too small. Actually, I need to look at this decision in the context of what is your will, period. Right? What is God's will? In Ephesians 1:9 mentions his will. Actually, it's the mystery of his will. So we realize, number one, God's will requires revelation. It's not common knowledge. We need to seek God and ask God, Lord, show me your will, because it's a mystery. But he has made known this mystery. And also, number two, is that his will is associated with his good pleasure. So his will, which is what he wants, is pleasing to him. It makes God happy to see his will done. His will is not something objective. It's not something just a plan to do something, but it's what makes him happy. It's what pleases him. And because we were created because of that will, it also makes us happy. Amen. Then thirdly, his will is something he purposed. So out of this desire, his wishes, which comes out of what makes him happy, there is a purpose. So a purpose, you could say, is more concrete than just a will or a wish. And here the purpose is also a verb. So he purposed according to his will. This means that, you know, nothing was accidental. Everything he does was with purpose. And it also shows that God is determined. He is relentless. He will get what he wants because he has purposed. He has determined. And then finally, I'd like to point out regarding his will, in verse 11, it mentions that he works all things according to the counsel of his will. So he had his will, he had his wish, and then you can picture among the Godhead, the Trinity, there they held a council, right? So they had a meeting to consider this will and to consider how shall we get this will carried out. And the product of this council, or the meeting, is the council, which is the way. You know, the council produces a document, and that document is the council of the council. The council is God's way in detail to carry out his purpose according to his will. And then, now when we consider this, all this matters, God's good pleasure, God's will, God's purpose, and God's counsel, then we can see, Lord, all the details of my life fit into your counsel, which is according to your will. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, what a wonderful God we have. He is determined to get his will that will make him happy. And we also will be happy. So Lord, I want my life to be according to your will, whatever it may be. I don't even know what it may be. But Lord, I say amen to your will and amen to your counsel, the way you will carry out your will. Lord, what you want, I want also. But what is it that the Lord wants? What is it that God wants? Well, for this, we have to consider, actually, I almost thought we should read all of Colossians. We read a lot of verses in chapter 1. Actually, we should read all of Colossians. It's not that long. Maybe in your small groups, you can consider whether you can read the four chapters of Colossians one evening. It's not bad. But in Colossians 1:9, Paul prayed for the Colossian believers. He prayed that they would know God's will. They would know God's will. And then this knowing of God's will in verse 9 produces something, and that is a walk, to walk worthily of the Lord in verse 10. And then in this walk, we're empowered in verse 11. Empowered because, first of all, God is strong. He has the might of his glory. And also empowered because life on earth is suffering, right? Life on earth is not easy. But we're empowered to have long suffering with joy. And then in verse 12, we're qualified for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. That is Christ as our good land. So what is God's will? God's will is that Christ would be everything to us. Oh, this is a marvelous, marvelous will. Now, how does Christ become everything to us? I'll just say a little bit here as a side note. It's not the main point, but the way Christ becomes everything to us is by what we call God's economy. God's economy, which is also mentioned in Ephesians 1, is his arrangement to dispense Christ into us. You could say in the world, in this country, we have an economy, which is to, the function of the economy is to distribute wealth, right? And there are maybe two main ways that wealth in this country is distributed. One way is buying and selling, and the other way is taxes and benefits, right? Two ways to distribute wealth. Well, God has an economy. He is rich, and all his riches are in Christ. And his way to distribute these riches is by dispensing them into us by the Spirit. So when we live and walk and exercise our spirit, we begin to enjoy Christ. We begin to receive that dispensing, and Christ becomes more and more to us. We'll get into a little bit more practically how that happens. But I just wanted to mention that that is what we call God's economy. And that is a detailed way of how he carries out his will. Now, you may say, well, I don't know how that relates to me. Why would I want Christ as my everything? I have a lot of things. I know they're not Christ, and I just want to hold on to them. I don't want to let go of them. So Paul does something marvelous in Colossians. He shows us that Christ, that God's will is Christ, and then he tells us how wonderful Christ is. You know, Colossians, each church had their problems in the epistles that Paul wrote. The Colossians' problem was a matter of culture. They were holding on to their culture. And culture is a good thing. Culture tells us how to live. Culture tells us how to relate to people and how to enjoy life. You know, even the matter of table manners and the matter of the recipes that we cook according to, these are all matters of culture. How we greet one another, how we carry out our conversations. These are all matters of culture. When you go to another country with another culture, you realize, oh, I need to learn all the way from the beginning how to greet people, right? Some cultures, you don't shake their hands. You greet in another way, right? So this is all culture, but the Colossians, the culture was taking the place of Christ. Right. So Paul was showing here, I don't want you to hate your culture. Actually, I want you to love Christ. So let me show you how wonderful Christ is. And I don't have the time or the ability to share all of it, but let me just point out a few things. One thing I really enjoyed is that Christ is the firstborn of two things. In verse 15, he's the firstborn of all creation. We don't consider this very much because we often pay attention to Colossians 2, where it says that Christ is the body. All things are the shadow. He is the reality, right? So we've used this example before. You're sitting on a chair, but Christ is your real chair. So he's the real support to you. He's the real rest to you, that you can sit down and rest, right? So we would say Christ is the real chair. But actually, that is true. But actually, he's also involved with the old creation. He's the firstborn of the old creation. And the old creation cannot exist without him. Not only was he the creator, but he's the one through which creation even exists. I'm not a physicist, but I learned a little bit, and we're all familiar with gravity, right? If I have this object and I stop supporting it, it will fall. And the reason that is because this object has mass and the Earth has mass. And so two objects with mass have an attraction to each other. And that is why the Earth revolves around the sun. We can compute the mass of the sun. We can compute the mass of the Earth, and then we can predict how it will move around the sun. Well, astronomers have observed not only the sun we know about, the Earth and the planets we know about, but when you look at the galaxies and how they move, they realize we don't see everything there that keeps the galaxies together. There's a certain amount of mass we cannot see, And yet the galaxies stay together and they move in a certain pattern, which indicate there should be a certain amount of mass there. But we can't see it. And they call that mass dark matter because we haven't observed it yet. And I believe the number is the amount of mass we cannot observe, we don't know where it is or what it's made of, is 85%. 85% of the mass is somehow missing. We can't see it with our telescopes. And without that mass, the universe would fly apart. We wouldn't have galaxies. We wouldn't have stars. We wouldn't have solar systems and planets. I don't know if we'll ever discover that mass. But the Bible tells us Christ is the one in whom creation coheres, is kept together. Maybe we'll discover that mass. But for now, we know that Christ is the one in whom creation exists. So even we haven't even gotten to the new creation yet. Without Christ, the old creation could not exist. So we even can praise him for that. Lord, thank you that the whole universe coheres in you. Without you, even my physical body could not maintain itself. So that gave me new meaning. When I thank the Lord for today, it's not just thank the Lord for today, but thank the Lord that today even exists because it's because of you. So he's the firstborn of all creations. He is before all things, and all things cohere in him. Then he is also the firstborn of the new creation. He died and he rose, and in his resurrection, he was the firstborn of a new creation. And this is the new creation in resurrection. And of course, we know the new creation is all the things that are regenerated with this resurrection life of Christ. And that means the church and all the believers are a new creation. So this shows that Christ is all-inclusive. He is in all of us, and he is everything to us. And also that he is involved with the old creation. So he's all-inclusive and extensive. His boundaries are limitless, even more limitless than our universe. So this is a wonderful Christ. This is just one aspect that should attract our hearts to realize, Lord, you are wonderful. I want to get to know you in the same way that Paul got to know you. And indeed, this is God's will that we would know him in such a way. What we can do then is to just ask the Lord, Lord, I want to know you in this way. Lord, I want your dispensing of yourself to be accomplished in me. If we ask the Lord earnestly, surely he would be pleased to answer our prayers. One more point I'd like to emphasize. In Colossians 2:8, I don't know if we had that verse up, regarding Christ as our everything, Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware that no one carries you off as spoil through his philosophy and empty deceit." So here are a few things that are not Christ, but we often get distracted by, philosophies and teachings, right? "According to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ." So there are philosophies, there are traditions. We know there are a lot of traditions, and there are also elements of the world. Elements here means rudimentary teachings. So you may consider, for example, let's say that I have a problem with procrastination, which I do. I have a problem with procrastination. The new year has begun, so let me resolve something to fix this problem I have with procrastination. So maybe I should consider, what are the ways to solve procrastination? And there are different teachings. If you look up, or if you consider, or if you ask people, different people will give you different advice. But these are just rudimentary teachings, elements of the world. Actually, there's another solution, and that solution is Christ. So this is an example where man's tradition or man's philosophy can lead you one way. It can lead you, maybe you can solve, maybe I can solve or diminish my problem with procrastination by following man's ways. But that would distract me from living Christ. That would distract me from taking Christ as my solution. Here it says, beware that no one carries you off. And it says, according to all these other matters, and not according to Christ. So when we live, we need to evaluate things according to Christ. And it was good, the brother mentioned, what does this mean, according to Christ? Well, one way to understand this is according to the two trees in the Garden of Eden. We have the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God's warning to Adam and Eve were, if you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And our experience in our daily life is that when we consider certain things, there is a feeling in our spirit, maybe not so much in our soul or our body, there is a feeling in our spirit of death. And so my example of procrastination is one example. When I look up teachings concerning how to deal with procrastination, the more I read, the less I love God, the less I have sensed the fellowship with God, because I'm distracted by philosophies and traditions. And I'm analyzing them with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm saying, oh, this is good. Oh, that teaching is bad. And I'm brought to death. But there is also the tree of life. So when I consider the Lord and I say, Lord, I confess to you, I have a problem with procrastination. I want to give that to you. Then there is a feeling of life in my spirit. And there's also a feeling of communion, of fellowship with the Lord. And eventually that may lead me to pray, Lord Jesus, I love you. And surely, if I let the Lord live in me, he is not a procrastinator. He's a very active person, and he takes care of things immediately. If I let the Lord live in me, then when the time comes to procrastinate, the Lord surely would say in a still small voice, do it now, do it now. So this is an example of how our evaluating things according to the tree of life can lead us to take Christ more as our everything. Another example that was given was this brother had mentioned occasionally someone will email him something and he will read the message and it will contain words that deaden his spirit. And so his response is immediately, Lord, I give you this word, I give you the matter, the person who wrote this, and then delete it. Whereas another person might try to read it and then read it again and analyze it and say, how should I answer this person? Which parts of his arguments were good, which were not right, which were wrong? And this kind of analysis just leads us to knowledge and eventually to death. So this is just another example of the little things that we do in our daily living can, when we take into account the tree of life and the sense of life in our spirit, it will lead us to take Christ as our everything, to take Christ as our life. Amen. Okay, let me stop there, and Brother Peter can continue. I just would just emphasize, as much as God is determined to carry out his will, that Christ would be our all and in all, we would also have a matching determination. Lord, I want this day for you to carry out your will. That is, I want to walk in you and I want to be more rooted in you today. Amen.
Christian life should be very simple, but yet it's very complicated. Our brother was talking about gravity, brought me back to Newtonian physics. You know, we have professors in physics sitting here. But then you get reminded of Einstein's relativity. So the whole universe is relative. Everything is relative. And even gravity on the Earth and versus on the moon is relative. On the moon, I don't have to worry about my body weight because the gravity is not that heavy. So I'd rather weigh myself on the moon, but eat on the Earth. So that is relativity, right? So saints, Christian life should be very simple. And God actually made it very simple. And in the beginning, we were created according to his image and after his likeness. Very simple as a vessel, just to receive him and to express him. However, we know in our real life, we are very complicated. What to eat, what to drink, how to shake a hand, he just mentioned, or a bow. And the first time I went to Thailand, and I stretched out of my hand, people were saying, and also, you know, where the hands, the position, by the nose level, or by mouth level, or even lower. This is a culture. Now this is a culture. Saints, really for this coming 6 weeks, we hope in this knowing and experiencing the all-inclusive and extensive Christ, we can really enter into a realm. This realm is, don't think it too complicated, because once we think it's so complicated, we just make it almost like it's just one of those things. No. Christ is a mystery of God, and the church is a mystery of Christ. Yeah, it's all mysteries. Mysteries upon mysteries, mysteries in mysteries, and we are all mysteries. No, this Christ actually is knowable, is knowable. He's experientiable, and he desires that we know him, and he revealed himself to us. So we hope this coming few weeks, we spend a lot of time in the book of Colossians. 95 verses, saints, 95 verses, chapter 9, 29 verses, chapter 2, 28 verses, and so on. 95 verses, saints. Let's really spend next few weeks enter into the book of Colossians. We know we have done this about 2 years ago, using about 9 messages from the crystallization study of Colossians, if you still remember. And now we're actually this Thanksgiving conference come back to the book of Colossians. And to know the all-inclusive, and here, remember, there's an in. Okay. Inclusive, there's an in. And the extensive, there's an X. So one is within a realm. The other one is outreach. So the all-inclusive Christ is the content of God's economy. And then the extensive Christ is where God's economy will reach and will accomplish. So that's how simple it is. And the all-inclusive and extensive, don't look too far. Don't have to look to Mars. Don't look for light years away. Don't think how big the universe is. That's the old creation. All of this inclusive and extensive Christ will be and will be realized in the new creation. The new creation, even though today still on the earth and here as a church, and there are many mysterious human beings sitting together, yet this Christ is in every one of us. And he desires that every one of us will be a duplication of himself, will be just like who he is. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, we know, and those verses we did not provide. when he appears, we will be like him, just as who he is. Since our Lord himself is very simple. Everything regarding triune God is simple. And he is so pure, he's holy, and he's so simple. Since I'm not trying to simplify this matter, we human beings, a lot of times, because of the fall from the beginning, we complicate things. That's why many times we use the word, we complify the simplicated. God is very simple. Triune God is very simple. Men were created very simple, just for one purpose and one purpose only. To receive God and to express him and to have his glory shine through us and have this corporate expression and to defeat his enemy and conquer the land and express his glory, the radiance divine in this whole universe. And if we go back, if we go to Revelation chapter 21, and if we go we go to the end and looking back to today's church life, we're easy to see our God's will and God's purpose in us, in Christ, and in the totality of this corporate entity of Christians. We'll see it's very clear. Let's read it again. Revelation 21, and let's read again, read verse by verse. Let's not rush, okay? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and the sea is no more. So you can see from the beginning when God created everything. And in Genesis chapter 1, and from verse 2, we see God's recovery. The creation were already there. As a matter of fact, the whole land is ocean. And the whole earth was marinated under death water and covered with darkness. So when the Lord, the Spirit, was brooding on the vast, the void water in the darkness, we know the Spirit came, the Word, the speaking came, and everything being recovered. However, that still was the old creation. So our brother quoted Colossians 1:15. He's the firstborn of all the creations. That's the old creations. And we know this old creation was corrupted. And everything fell with the fall of Adam and Eve, including all animals, all creation was under a curse. Everything was moaning for the appearance, for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's according to Romans 8. We know everything is waiting for that day. And who holds the master key? Us, the sons of God. And that's why our Lord desires so earnestly that Christ should become all in all. Everything all in us, and also we become like him. By the end, Christ is all and will be in all. By then, the sons of God will manifest and everything will be over. We know there is a kingdom, a period of a kingdom, but by the end, when the kingdom was fully realized, we're issuing the new heavens and new earth with the new Jerusalem. So since all the old creations will be over, will be the new creation, new heavens and a new earth. Even imagine in New York, we are surrounded with the water. We all worry about the sea level rises. Oh, if the sea levels rise by a meter, Manhattan will disappear. If it rises 2 meters, Queens will be, you know. Saints, don't worry about that. The church is shining. Because our Lord's heart desire is not to submerge New York or elevate New York. He desires Christ be manifested. Because by that day, new heavens and new earth, there's not going to be even an ocean anymore. No more sea. Oh, don't even think about it that day. The real estate in Manhattan going to be cheap because of more land. So those are all in the realm of old creations. Saints, our God is yearning that way to express this all-inclusive, extensive Christ. In human beings, as little, as small as we are, as a few as we are, God desires that we shine forth Christ. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So here the will of God is fully realized, fully manifested. It's not a physical thing built up from ground up. It's a spiritual entity with the triune God and you and I built up in the heavens and descend. That day descend from the heavens to the earth. So since that's why the concepts we enjoy these a few weeks' messages, we have to ascend to the heavenlies. And our view is most of the time is totally opposite of God's point of view. And we always look from the land and looking for some blessings from the heavenlies. But God said, every blessing, every heavenly blessing has been issued, has been dispensed to the church. And today is the church really realizing that this Christ is not only in the midst of us, this Christ is in us, this Christ is operating in us, and this Christ is desiring that his body, the church, will give him the whole authority and the throne to operate within every one of us. Brothers and sisters, today, I mean the whole world, as the turn of this new year, if you really see everything is happening in the whole world as if there's no tomorrow. Even the whole world is living in a way almost like no tomorrow. Things are happening just by hours, things are changing. And we know this old creation is in a accelerated speed, accelerated rate, is reaching its end. And yet, we should be joyful because our Lord is also accelerating. That's why we call sevenfold intensified. Our Lord is accelerating. I mean, we don't know how fast, accelerating his accomplishment of his will on this earth. And we will be adorned by that day before the kingdom realize we know overcomers will be adorned. But by the end of the kingdom, all of us will be adorned as the bride. So praise the Lord. We know this will happen. We know this will be realized. So saints, we should be full of hope, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will tabernacle with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God. We're not waiting for that day. Today, saints, we need to honor him on the throne. We need to honor our God in our daily walk. That's why Colossians says we need to walk worthily of our calling. Our Lord is watching. The enemy, his adversary, Satan, is watching. The whole world is watching. What is the testimony of the church today? And today there are so many things happening. And if you realize, there's one of the largest denomination in North America and in the world. And they're probably going to experience the largest division in history. And this is regarding about 13 million Christians. And their division will come by July. Saints, is this the testimony for the Lord? Our Lord, I don't know how troubled in his heart, since we need to pray for the children of God, really to manifest his testimony here. And I want the sister, Sister Fan, when we introduce her, and one thing Brother Phil to translate is she said, her heart is jumping. Her blood is rising, is boiling, because she was so happy to see God's children here with all ethnicity, with all colors, with all languages are here. Sister Fan, you are still seeing the outward things. Welcome to the household of God. But what is more important is the intrinsic, the Christ, the all-inclusive Christ is in us. And he wants to extend into every cell, everything in us, to replace us, to metabolically to replace us. Our culture, our language, our philosophy, our education, and our color, everything should be replaced by Christ. Because his heart desire is that he himself will be all and in all. By the end, you will see Christ all over the place, but yet only one expression. Praise the Lord. This is where the adornment is going on. The adoring, we are in the process being adored as the bride of Christ. And he's our God. Since today, we really need to exercise to honor him, to give him the preeminence, the number one position in everything. And this is not easy to practice. We all realize that. But in big things, a lot of times we go to him, we always emphasize in small things. Even in our thoughts, in every decision, in everything we love, we hate, we rejoice, we're depressed, give everything to him. Ask him, Lord, what do you think? Why I'm feeling depressed? Lord, what's going on? I give this to you. Since if we begin to walk every step with him, we will be walking worthily of his calling. And today is a lot of small things, a lot of little decisions will be incremental measures of our growth into this all-inclusive, extensive Christ. As a matter of fact, the more we grow into him, the more he will extend himself into us. So it's not the whole universe. It is within us. The whole universe, he will take it anyway. But it is within us how fast, in what matters, in what thoughts, what intentions, and what really enjoyment we have. Is he extending into that? Since the extensive Christ, he is the very invasive Christ. He wants to be part, to be every part of us. So he wanted to be us. Not only in us, he wanted to be us so we can be him. Amen. Okay, he's so caring. Let's see verse 4. And he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death will be no more. Nor will there be sorrow or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Since today, we are going through these processes. Sometimes can have tears. Sometimes we really don't know how to go on. Many times we just feel physical weakness. And so many saints may have infirmity in physical health and in financial situations. Since our Lord knows, this is not a crying to him, say, Daddy, I have no money. Can you give me some money? No, it's not like that. Saints, can we bring our tears even to the Lord? Can we bring our weakness to the Lord? Can we bring everything we're going through in human life, our education, our marriage, everything, our services to the Lord? Bring even opening our home to the Lord. Because the church life is this process. And how many saints we shed tears? And Brother Nee have a message, was particularly talking about even our Lord in the scriptures. He store our tears. He weigh our tears. He pay a lot of attention to our inner feelings. Our inner feelings, our tumultuous mental struggles, going through the church life, going through the worldly walk. Brothers and sisters, our Lord knows. Can we bring all of this to our Lord? And last night I got home a little late, and I know there's snow. So I was just took a shovel and began to shovel the walkway and shovel both of my neighbors. And I didn't realize our next door neighbor was sitting in her car in the driveway in that weather or something. And when she saw I was shoveling their walkway, she just come out. I was a little startled. This is pretty late. I don't have to ask. She must be going through some difficult time. And she said, hi. I said, oh, it's pretty heavy. And I hope our hearts are not heavily laden. I said, oh, good night. And may the Lord bless your heart. Saints, so many times we have no one we can talk to. We have no one we can go to. Our Lord knows. Can you imagine God wipe our tears? I never expected that. I grew up tough. And I just, if I have tears, just suck it up. So, my Lord, he wipe off my tears. I can even sense sometimes he pat on my back and touch my head. Son, be strengthened into your inner man. Brothers and sisters, this is our Lord. He's inclusive. That's easy to say. Can he be with a few items? We can correlate with him. Can we experience he wipe our tears away? He can pat on us, said, you can always come to me anytime, anywhere, any matters. This inclusive Christ, the saints, is so fine, so detailed. We can bring anything, anytime, anywhere to him. He's so extensive and he's so fine. He cares about everything. That day, we know that day, when we see him, I say, Lord, thank you. We'll be full of tears of joy. Lord, I love you. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's see verse 5. I finish soon. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write. for these words are faithful and true. Since many times when we are going through situations, somehow the words of God lose its power. I don't know if that's your experience or not. Many times we'll question, is this real? Lord, are you real? Lord, if you are real, why am I going through this? Saints, he gone through everything. He has gone through everything. That doesn't mean, yeah, you're a God. You go through everything. Why me? Our Lord knows. Saints, I don't know how to explain this. And many times, I just kneel down, even without speaking anything. Just groaning before him. Just to tell him, Lord, I don't know what to say. But Lord, you know what's going on in me. And I need your touch. I need your comfort. Lord, would you please let me just to look at you without saying anything. Since so many times, you really can see our Lord face to face because he is that Lord. He is my Lord. He is your Lord. Though he's including everything positive, but yet he might be so true to me just in that one particular matter. Comfort me with that one particular feeling. He can be all-inclusive, but to me, at that time, I just need that one thing. Since that's our Lord, and everything will be new. Verse 6, and he said to me, they have come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him who thirsts from the spring of the water of life freely. Everything is here. Actually, the Lord said, is to pass. Everything is here to pass. The whole creation, everything associated with the old creation, is here to pass. Saints, everything will be over. So many times, saints, what the easiest solution is to have a prayer and go to bed. Just have a good sleep if you can. Next morning is another fresh day, and many things from my experience, about half, 50% are gone. 50%, you don't have to touch about it. And the day before, some text message or email me, talk something very serious, as if the heaven, the sky is falling. Next morning, you just see the message and say, it's no problem anymore. So many times, saints, give the things to the Lord. Give the troubles to the Lord. The things are come to pass. Everything will be gone as the time ticking on. So saints, this is from the Lord. His all-inclusiveness, one of the factors is time. It's time. He cares. He cares. He comforts. Don't forget, he's the spirit of comfort. Amen. He's the comforter. Saints, go to him. Go to him. And don't be lonely. And he's here. He is in the midst of us. He is in the church life. And he's the Alpha and he's the Omega, which means he is all the letters, all the speakings, all the scriptures. Alpha and Omega. For the Chinese, you may not know this. This is a Greek. The first letter is Alpha. The last letter is Omega. In English, is A to Z. In Chinese, there's no such a thing. He is Alpha, he's Omega, because the New Testament was written in Greek. So he's everything. In English, it would be A to Z. He's all the speaking in the Bible. Go back to his word. Enjoy the scriptures. And for Chinese, I don't know how to explain it, but read the Bible. Maybe this coming 6 weeks, we can really use the book of Colossians and read the life studies of the book of Colossians. Okay, it's not that much. You know, a lot of you can listen to the recordings. And this is the advantage of the Chinese speaking saints, because we recorded all the life studies, the full messages, many years ago. Of course, we have online broadcasting messages, 25 minutes per portion, and listen to those messages. Maybe using these next few weeks, let's concentrate on the book of Colossians to read the scriptures and to enter into the life studies. Praise the Lord. Finally, he who overcomes will inherit these things. And we know in Colossians 1:12, we are using the allegory or as types of the Israelites were receiving the allotted portions. And by the end, we know this portion is not the land. We know this portion is Christ. So here it says, we will inherit these things. That is in the New Jerusalem. Our triune God is our inheritance. Saints, everything will be over, but a Christ forever. He will be our portion. He will be our full enjoyment. He will be our full inheritance. And he will be God to us, and we will be son to him. One corporate sonship. Here, our older brother Christ will be in every one of us and be every one of us. And we will be one with him. And he will be our God. And we is the son to him. We is the son to him. Because we will be the corporate sonship to enjoy it with him in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Saints, this coming weeks again, saints, let's get into the book of Colossians. It's just so rich, so rich. And we hope we can really enjoy this scriptures and life studies or other messages associated with Colossians. Let's concentrate in the book of Colossians. Amen. Let's just, on one hand, we think it's a Thanksgiving conference, but on the other hand, let's concentrate on the book of Colossians. Praise the Lord.